If you take an open source, like 70 billion parameter model right now, and you just wrap it in a standard FastAPI PyTorch loop,
Oh, yeah, I know where this is going.
right? You send it maybe 100 concurrent requests, and your multi-$1,000 state-of-the-art GPU will spend probably about 70% of its time doing absolutely nothing.
Well, or, more likely it'll just throw a massive out-of-memory error and completely crash the server before it even gets the chance to sit idle.
Exactly. And that catastrophic failure is the exact scenario we are dissecting today in this deep dive. Because if you are listening to this, you likely have a really strong Python background, right?
Yeah, you probably know your way around classical machine learning pretty well.
Right. You've trained and deployed scikit-learn pipelines, maybe convolutional neural networks or standard BERT classifiers.
Right.
And now you're gearing up for engineering interviews in the foundation model space.
Which is an entirely different beast.
It really is.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, in classical ML, deploying your code has usually been like the victory lap. You serialize the model, wrap it in a REST API, you containerize it, and you just push it to production.
Yeah, classical ML deployment is essentially just a logistics problem, You are moving a static packaged asset from your research environment straight into a production environment.
Right. The math doesn't change.
Exactly. The underlying assumptions about how the hardware handles the math, they don't fundamentally change between training and inference.
And so that brings us to this massive trap that is waiting for you in your next technical interview. We're unpacking a core engineering principle that has totally taken over the generative AI landscape.
It's a principle that interviewers are absolutely going to test you on.
Yep. The principle is simple, and it's that serving is a separate problem. Today, we're exploring why deploying large language models requires just a complete architectural teardown.
And how dedicated execution engines, specifically VLLM, are designed to run these models fast and cheap.
Right, fast and cheap, which we will definitely get into. Because interviewers testing candidates with classical ML backgrounds, they are actively waiting for you to treat an LLM deployment like a traditional ML deployment.
Oh, 100%. They want to see if you actually understand the physics of serving an autoregressive model. Like, if your whiteboard architecture just looks like a standard Flask app routing JSON payloads to, a PyTorch model.generate script.
The interview is effectively over, right?
Yeah, you fail the screen right there.
So let's break down the mechanics of why that traditional setup fails. In a classical setup, say an image classifier, inference is stateless, right? It's predictable. An image goes in, a tensor of probabilities comes
Oh,
out.
very clean, very
Yeah,
fast.
it takes a fraction of a second. The memory required to hold the model weights is static. And the memory required for the input is, well, it's small and fixed. So why doesn't that map to an LLM?
It's the architecture of how the text is actually generated.
Right, but even for a large one, I mean, I understand the weights take up way more VRAM, but if I have an 80 GB A100 GPU and my quantized weights take up, say, 40 GB, shouldn't I just be able to use the rest of that space to run standard inference?
See, that's the logical assumption, but the bottleneck in LLM inference is rarely just the size of the model weights. The actual bottleneck is the KV cache.
Okay, the KV cache. This is the concept you must be able to explain flawlessly in an interview.
Absolutely, because large language models generate text autoregressively, right? Meaning they predict one single token at a time based on all the previous tokens.
So they have to remember everything they just said.
Exactly. They need to keep the context of everything generated so far. So to avoid having to recompute the entire attention matrix for the whole sequence, every single time it spits out one new token, the model caches the key and value vectors for all the past tokens.
Which means this cache grows with every single token generated. It's not a static memory block, it's an expanding state.
And it is massive. I mean, for a 13 billion parameter model, storing the KV cache for just a single sequence can take hundreds of megabytes.
Wait, hundreds of megabytes for one sequence?
Yeah. So if you are trying to serve, say, 100 concurrent users, and each one has a context window of a few thousand tokens, that KV cache easily balloons into dozens or even hundreds of gigabytes.
Wow.
It completely eclipses the size of the model weights themselves.
Okay, wait. In classical PyTorch or TensorFlow, if I want to maximize my throughput, I would normally just crank up the batch size until I hit the memory limit, right?
Right, standard dynamic batching.
Yeah. Why can't I just dynamically batch incoming LLM requests the exact same way? Like if I have 10 prompts coming in, I pad them to the same length, push them through the GPU as a single matrix multiplication, and send the answers back. We did this with LSTMs years ago.
You have to think about the unpredictability of the output.
Unpredictability.
Yeah, with a traditional classifier, you batch 10 images, right? They all take the exact same compute, and they all finish at the exact same millisecond. But with LLMs, one user's prompt might ask for, like, a 3-word summary.
Oh, I see.
Right. And another user's prompt in that exact same batch might ask for a 2,000-word essay.
Ah, so they're totally out of sync.
Exactly. If you use static batching, the GPU has to wait for that 2,000-word essay to finish generating token by token before it can process a new batch.
So the request that only took 3 tokens is just sitting there holding up GPU memory.
Yep, it's just dead weight, and no new requests can enter the system until the longest one finishes.
Let's use a mechanical metaphor here, because I think that helps instead of just talking about tensors. Mm-hmm. Classical ML inference is it's kind of like a fast food drive-thru.
Okay, I like that.
Right. One car pulls up, hands over an order, gets a bag of food, and drives away. The transaction is atomic. It takes basically the same amount of time for everyone.
Whereas generative AI is more like a sit-down restaurant.
Exactly. A party of 4 sits down, but they order one item at a time. They order drinks. Then they wait. Then appetizers. Then they wait. They might stay for 20 minutes or they could stay for 3 hours.
And the waiter, which in this case is the GPU, cannot seat anyone else at that table until they completely finish and leave.
That restaurant metaphor highlights the exact issue of memory fragmentation, which is really the mortal enemy of LLM serving.
It is the absolute worst, because in a standard Python environment using classical memory allocation, the system doesn't actually know how long a sequence will be when the generation starts.
Right, because it's autoregressive. It could start in 10 tokens or 10,000.
Exactly. So to prevent crashing halfway through a sentence, standard PyTorch will just pre-allocate memory based on the absolute maximum possible sequence length.
Oh, wow. So it sets aside a massive contiguous block of VRAM for the KV cache of every single request.
Yes. And going back to your metaphor, it means the restaurant is basically reserving 10-person banquet tables for every single person who walks in the door.
Just in case they decide to invite 9 friends later.
Exactly. And that results in brutal internal memory fragmentation. The sources for these concepts highlight that in traditional serving systems, up to 60 or 70% of the KV cache memory is just wasted on reserved empty space.
That is insane. 70% waste.
Yep. The GPU isn't doing any math in that space.
Right.
It's just hoarding empty memory blocks. You end up being compute starved because you are entirely memory locked.
Which really isolates serving as a completely separate engineering discipline. I mean, you aren't tuning hyperparameters or adjusting loss functions anymore at this stage.
No, not at all. You are fighting low-level hardware constraints.
Right, and this demands purpose-built infrastructure. Standard execution environments just buckle under this pressure. And this is where we need to introduce a specific tool that was built to solve this, VLLM.
Because the open source community finally realized that treating LLM inference like a standard AI problem was just failing. They needed to treat it like an operating system problem.
An operating system problem, yeah.
VLLM was built specifically as an execution engine to run LLMs, and it attacks that KV cache bottleneck directly.
And when you were in an interview demonstrating that you understand how these specialized execution engines work under the hood, is what separates the senior engineers from the juniors.
Definitely.
So we established that standard pre-allocation creates massive waste because it demands contiguous memory blocks. How does VLLM actually hijack that process to fix the fragmentation?
It uses an algorithm called page detention, and it borrows a very old, very reliable concept from operating systems, virtual memory and paging.
Okay, so bringing OS concepts into AI.
Yes. Instead of forcing the KV cache for a request to live in one giant contiguous chunk of GPU memory, VLLM basically divides the cache into small, fixed-size blocks, which they call pages.
Okay, so a single page might hold the key and value vectors for, say, 16 tokens.
Correct. As the model generates text token by token, it slowly fills up a page. When that page is full, VLLM dynamically allocates a brand new physical page on the GPU.
Just right when it needs it.
Exactly. But here's the critical part. Those physical pages do not have to be contiguous. They can be scattered anywhere in the GPU's memory.
Where, really? Anywhere?
Anywhere. VLLM maintains a block table, which is exactly like a virtual memory page table in Linux, and it maps the logical sequence of tokens to these totally scattered physical blocks.
But doesn't that break the fundamental requirement of contiguous tensor allocation? I mean, if the memory is scattered all over the GPU, doesn't that just ruin the efficiency of the matrix multiplication?
That's what you would think, right?
Yeah. Standard CDA kernels expect data to be lined up perfectly in memory so the cores can just sweep over it seamlessly.
Standard CDA kernels do, yes. But vLLM uses custom-written page-attention CDA kernels.
Oh, I see.
They're specifically designed to fetch these scattered blocks on the fly during the actual attention computation.
That is wild.
And the trade-off is entirely worth it. Because by eliminating the need for contiguous pre-allocation, internal memory fragmentation drops from, like, 60% down to less than 4%.
It's less than 4%. So going back to our restaurant, instead of reserving a 10-person banquet table, just in case, you seat the customer at a two-person table.
Right.
And if their friends show up, you just point them to another empty two-person table clear across the room, and the waiter magically knows how to serve them as if they were sitting together.
That is the perfect way to look at it. And the moment you free up all that wasted memory, you unlock the second major architectural shift that is required for LLM serving, which is continuous batching.
Continuous batching, yes.
Yeah.
Because you are no longer reserving massive empty tables, you actually have the physical space to let more customers into the restaurant.
Exactly.
Let's really define continuous batching for the listener, because this is another absolute requirement for a modern AI backend. Earlier, we talked about how static batching basically waits for the longest request to finish.
Right, which wastes so much time. Continuous batching operates at the iteration level, not the request level.
The iteration level. Okay, explain that.
Every single time the model executes a forward pass and generates a single token for the active requests, the scheduler pauses. It just looks at the pool of incoming API requests.
Okay.
If a previous request just generated its final token and finished, it is immediately evicted from the batch, and its memory pages are freed up right then and there.
Instantly.
And in that exact same millisecond, a brand new request from the queue is injected into the batch to take its place for the very next forward pass.
Wow. So the batch is a living, breathing entity. Requests are constantly swapping in and out at the token level.
The GPU never waits for a long sequence to finish. As long as there are requests in the queue, the batch size stays at the absolute maximum capacity that the hardware can possibly handle.
That is brilliant. And that brings us perfectly to the metrics of success for serving infrastructure.
Right. How we actually measure all this.
Yeah, we've established that serving is a separate problem, right? And that page attention and continuous batching are basically the tools required to manage it. But how do you evaluate the system?
Well, the industry standard, and really the thesis of our analysis today, is that you evaluate serving engines on two pillars, fast and cheap.
Which often sounds totally contradictory to engineers coming from standard SaaS background.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, I have to challenge this premise entirely. Any engineer listening to this knows the iron triangle of software development, right?
Yeah.
Fast, cheap, good. You pick two.
The classic trade-off.
Exactly. If you want a database that reads and writes blazingly fast, you pay a huge premium for in-memory compute instances. It won't be cheap. If you want cheap storage, you use cold object storage, but it is not going to be fast.
Right.
So how does a system like vLLM achieve both simultaneously in an environment where compute costs are astronomically high?
You really have to redefine what those words mean in the context of hardware utilization.
Okay, redefine them how?
When we say fast in LLM serving, we are talking about two distinct latency metrics. First is time to first token, or TTFT.
Which is how quickly the model starts responding after you hit enter.
Exactly. And the second is time between tokens, which essentially dictates the reading speed for the user. So fast is purely about the user experience.
Got it. And cheap. Because cheap in the cloud is an oxymoron. We are paying by the hour for these cloud GPUs. Yeah. I mean, a single H100 instance can cost dozens of dollars an hour and usually need multiple of them.
Right. And the cost is fixed per hour, regardless of what the GPU is actually doing.
It costs the same whether it's idle or maxed out.
Exactly. Therefore, the only way to make inference cheap is to drive the cost per token down to a fraction of a cent. And you do that by generating the maximum physical number of tokens possible within that hour.
Throughput.
In traditional software, making something faster often means throwing more raw, expensive compute at it. But in LLM serving, making the engine more efficient, like using page attention to eliminate memory waste and continuous batching to keep the batch size maxed out, it means the CUDA cores on the GPU are constantly fed with math to do.
Okay, I see. So if your system is using a standard PyTorch inference loop, your GPU might only be doing actual matrix multiplication, what, 30% of the time?
If you're lucky.
Right. The other 70% of the time is just sitting there waiting for memory to free up or waiting for a long sequence to finish. you are paying full price for a GPU that is effectively asleep most of the time.
But when VLLM manages the memory dynamically, the GPU is doing useful math 90% of the time.
That's a huge difference.
It's massive. You are pushing vastly more traffic through the exact same hardware footprint. You're serving three times as many users on the exact same hourly rental cost.
So speed and cost are not competing variables here. They're deeply interconnected.
Completely interconnected.
The optimization doesn't just lower the latency, it maximizes the hardware utilization. Mm. It makes the engine run so efficiently that it processes exponentially more workload for the same hourly burn rate.
And this is exactly what an engineering director is looking for in a technical screen.
Yeah, this is the goldmine for interviews.
If you're a candidate who only talks about lowering latency by utilizing tensor parallelism or like speculative decoding, you're only solving half the problem. If you don't consider how to make the execution cheap through algorithmic and systemic memory efficiency, you really fail to show a holistic engineering mindset.
You have to demonstrate that you protect the company's cloud budget just as fiercely as you protect the user's latency requirements.
Yeah.
In AI infrastructure, high utilization is basically the only path to survival.
Because if a startup is burning through $1 million a month on idle compute just to maintain low latency, they won't survive to see their next funding round.
They really won't.
Yeah.
So let's synthesize this for you as you prep for your upcoming interviews.
Yeah.
The most crucial takeaway is really abandoning that classical ML deployment mindset.
Completely abandon it.
A foundation model is not a static artifact that you just load into a REST API. Serving an autoregressive model is fundamentally a memory management problem, not a compute problem.
And you need to be prepared to draw out a KV cache on the whiteboard.
Show them you know it.
Exactly. Show the interviewer you understand why contiguous memory allocation fails for unpredictable sequence lengths. You have to explain how page attention solves internal fragmentation by borrowing virtual memory concepts from operating systems.
And map out the difference between static batching and continuous batching. Prove you understand that the GPU needs to be fed at the token level, not the request level.
Yes, the token level is key.
And frame all of these architectural decisions through that lens of fast latency and cheap, high throughput hardware utilization.
Honestly, your background in classical ML is a massive asset. You understand the math, you understand the training loops, and you know how to evaluate model performance.
You just need to explicitly show where those paradigms end and where the low-level systems engineering paradigms begin.
You need to show you can operate in the space where Python meets CUDA.
Perfectly said. Now, to wrap up this deep dive, I want to leave you with a final thought to mull over, something that builds on everything we've just discussed, perhaps while you are sketching out these architectures on your own whiteboard today.
Let's hear it.
If serving has truly become such a radically separate problem from training, I mean, requiring its own dedicated operating system level engines like VLLM, entirely unique hardware utilization metrics, and a total obsession with memory paging rather than gradient descent, will we soon see a complete divergence in AI careers? In the very near future, will the industry permanently split? Will we have model creators who spend their days in PyTorch wrangling datasets, loss functions and novel architectures, and model servers who spend their days in C++ and CUD wrangling memory pages, network bandwidth, and GPU cycles?
That's a really valid question.
Because if the underlying mechanics of building a model have completely decoupled from the mechanics of running it, well, you might have to decide very soon which side of the engineering divide you want to build your career on.